You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
You know, when we read the Bible, you know, we get the gist that when God does something great in our lives, we're encouraged to share, to testify, to bear witnesses for him. You know, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "You shall be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." In Psalms 40, it reads, "I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly." In other words, if God has done something wonderful in your life, God has shown you his love and faithfulness, let's not hide it. Let's share it with the people around you. In fact, let's share it at church if you're up to it. And we did ask a few people here. We'd ask around and asked many people. You know, we've asked a few people, and a lot of people say, "Oh, I feel a bit shy and, you know, not ready yet. And, you know, maybe next time, next time." So next time, I'll hold all those of you. I asked who said we're going to share next time. You'll be up here sharing your testimony, testifying to God's goodness and greatness and his love. Thankfully, there's three Sun Lifers this morning who have something wonderful to share. And on that note, I'd like to invite our wonderful sister, Mary Ann, onto stage. This is here to our little makeshift cafe. Now, Mary Ann's no stranger to coming out and sharing a few things about herself. And we know that she's been with us for many years and is really one of our favorite missionaries. She's done so much, you know, it's been such an encouragement. Her passion for worship is just infectious. She can whistle like no one else can. I won't ask you to. Okay. So, you know... Thanks, Marianne. Yeah, so we know that Marianne's passionate for missions and sharing the gospel with people around her. This morning, we have a chance to have a deeper glimpse into her life, her world as a missionary, as a mum with two kids. Let's are you ready, Marianne? Yeah.
Maybe next time.
So for those who have not met you yet, you know, a number of us do know who you are, but for those of us who haven't met you yet, please, can you share a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, my name is Mary Ann. I am a single mum to two almost teenage girls. Their birthdays are coming up, so say happy birthday to them soon. I've been coming to Sun Life for around about 7 years. I think my first celebration was the fourth birthday. And until this one, I've been to every single one. I was a bit sad to miss the last one. But I'm also a full-time ministry of the gospel missionary with Youth with a Mission Perth, or YWAM for some of you.
And Marianne, you've been involved in missions for how many years, did you say?
Yeah, 8 years.
8 years.
And technically.
You've been 8 years, and you've been involved with a variety of roles, a number of roles. Can you share a little bit about those roles that you've been involved in and some highlights?
Yeah. Technically more than 8 years, because I did mission build or volunteer on a base in my hometown. I was actually the kitchen manager during that time, so they were just a pioneering base. But since being here in Perth, I've had every role between like admin and helping the base run. But my last 6 years has actually been mostly to do with mobilizing young people into missions through social media and communication. And this year I've had the privilege to lead a small team in the area of our social media communication specifically. So using our social media programs to share what God is doing in the nation, share what God is doing in this city, but also inviting people to come and train so that they can then go back out into the nations.
Wonderful. Now I know that being a missionary does not exempt you from the challenges of life, and I know that you have had some challenges and trials. Can you share a little bit about how the Lord helped you through some of those challenging seasons?
It's funny, they give you 2 minutes to share on your life story. this last 12 months especially, I would say, has been had a lot of challenges thrown at us. From family health issues to, last year we had our house violently broken into when my youngest daughter and I were home. I think the ongoing thing for us, though, would be, my mother-in-law, the girl's grandmother, has leukemia and has been battling leukemia. And the last 12 months is just, a roller coaster, I would say. One minute she's doing well and next minute she's not. And they were actually supposed to be here this Sunday from the East Coast, but unfortunately my mother-in-law took another turn and she had to go back into hospital. And if I remember, your question was, how do I get through that? I think this last 12 months, I think there's two scriptures that God just constantly has me meditating on. And the first one is my God is a God who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And the second one just left my mind. But his mercies are new every morning. His love is enduring and his faithfulness endures forever. And I think I just, on the harder days, these are now second nature to me. I think they were a gift from God in the beginning, and I had to really tap into them and be like, okay, I know you're good, I know you're faithful, I know, and really, but now it's just when something challenging comes my way, especially in the area of family, it's just the meditation of my heart is God, you're gracious and compassionate, you're slow to anger, abounding in love, your faithfulness endures forever, your mercies are new every morning. And that just gives me strength each day. And I'm not a happy, clappy Christian. That stuff, when I hear it from the front, often sounds a little bit cheesy and good for you. But for reals, this has been a 12-month journey or more, just meditating on this. And it's become my reality of things are hard. I don't deny that they're hard, but how good is my God and how faithful is my God? I'm so grateful that he is with me.
Amen. Thanks for sharing, Marianne. I know that there are a number of other challenges that you face, and I've seen that God has really come through for you and took you out of some difficult places. So we praise God and thank you for sharing of God's faithfulness and love in your life. Recently, you've been involved in a very interesting endeavor in South Korea, of all places. Can you share a little bit about how you ended up in South Korea, and what were you doing there, and maybe some highlights of that time?
Yeah, 2 minutes again. one thing that I didn't mention earlier is one of my roles in this recent season was actually participating in facilitating a school that we run called the School of Missions. And I had the privilege of learning how to facilitate classes and disciple young people as they look to the future. What does missions look like for me? And one of those students is actually, he's Canadian, but he's South Korean, and he's been a part of this group that you see behind us on the screen called Ezemiah. And there's, I think Daniel and, I know Daniel and Tasman also joined me on this trip. And it's basically an outreach program for children to teach the Bible to the next generation. And there's a longer story to that. But basically I spent 15 days in two different locations in South Korea doing skits, which is not my natural, doing children's songs and dances, and then facilitating classes where they can go deeper into the Word of God. It's just an incredible experience. I've never seen this model before, like such depth of teaching of the Bible to the next generation. And it really encouraged me that we can do that. We can go beyond Jesus loves you, and we can go beyond even the gospel message. We can teach children Genesis through the Revelation. And I know that because I just taught Revelations to these kids for the last 3 weeks. So if you can teach Revelations, you can definitely teach Genesis.
Wow, that's heavy going. Yeah. Revelations to how old are the kids?
Yeah, so the kids are roughly like, majority of them are probably 10 to 12, but we get as young as five-year-olds probably, yeah.
Right. So I think one of the highlights you were sharing was that I think there was two groups of kids, and one group was more from bit of a rough
batch. Yeah, yeah. So we had these two locations, and the first location was like, I think country kind of style, like they're very sweet kids. And then the second location was city. And so these kids, they had their phones and they had their attitudes and they had their everything. And when we came on the first day, it was very hard in the intro to really get their attention. Like they spent a lot of time just like hitting each other and like not listening to us. And I just thought, dear Lord, have mercy. Great is your faithfulness. Your mercies are new every morning. It was really cool. Like on the first day, like we did their morning session, then they went into their different stations, and this program like 10 a.m. through to like 3 p.m. And so then after the stations, we come back and we do like a closing. And give them more teaching and give them a chance to respond, have an application time. And one of the photos, I don't know if you can find it, there's this photo with all these little swords, these foam swords on a throne. Yeah, this one. And we just invited the kids like, hey, if because the lesson that day was like God rules with love and truth, and he gave us his word so that we could also rule with love and truth. And so we invited the kids like, hey, do you want to know how to live by God's word more? If you do, like, would you want to come and be prayed for so that God can help you live by his word? And they, like, as an act of faith, they just put their swords onto the throne. And I just watched these kids go from like crazy, like what the, to like really sincere and really gentle and meek. And it just gave me hope for the rest of the week. But it also just really showed me that this next generation is really hungry to know God and really desires to be led to God as well. So yeah, it was just really encouraging on so many levels.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Marianne, for sharing what you've been doing recently, and just in general that, you know, God has obviously got a hand on your life and looking after you and your family in the midst of you, you know, trying to pursue his will. So we give you thanks and we praise God for what he's doing in your life. Let's give Marianne a round of applause for sharing this morning. I'd like to invite Sylvia just to come up, and we'd like to pray for you, Marianne, if that's okay. So Sylvia,
sure.
Will be...
I like prayer.
Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you and praise you for who you are. You are such a good God to all of us here. You are creator, our provider, our sustainer. And we thank you for Jesus, Lord, who's come into our lives here to give us life to the full. And we want to thank you, Lord, for this dear sister Mary. And I know that, Lord, you have given her such a heart for missions and to reach out to the lost. And that, Lord, you have used her so mightily, Father God, in the last so many years, Lord, to reach out, you know, to people who don't know you. So, Father, will you just continue to empower her and equip her, lead her and guide her, Lord, to many, many things, Lord, that you want her to do, that you give her that strength, the joy to continue to do what you call her to do. And that, Lord, that your name will be glorified, Lord, through all that she's doing, Lord, and continue, Lord, to provide for her and the children and to bless the work of her hands. So we thank you for this, dear sister. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. Thanks again, Marianne. Now next, believe it or not, we've got Sylvia to stay here because we've got to have a little interview with our dear sister Sylvia. Now, I'm sure most of us know Sylvia. Earlier on, we talked about the significance of food in our church, and this lady is the epitome of food. She sets the bar of cooking that all of us have to match, you know, in order to get anywhere in Sun Life. So we are very thankful to have Sylvia. But we're not going to talk much about food, unfortunately. That's not the reason why we're here. We would love to know her secret recipe for a pandan cake and a few other things, but maybe that's next time. One of the reasons why we invited Sylvia here is because, you know, we've seen, we know, many of us who know her know that she's an amazing role model in discipleship. She has a passion for the Word of God. She's heavily involved with BSF. She's passionate about prayer. She has been constantly joining the prayer team right from the beginning, when it was like just a handful of, you know, like three or four of us. Sylvia, you've been such an encouragement to myself personally in leading the prayer team, always by my side, and it's such an encouragement. And you've also led a Connect group, and now you're overseeing as a cluster leader a number of Connect group leaders. And I know that you have a love for your Connect group members, and they all speak very highly of you. They all love you and appreciate you know, how you've supported them in their discipleship journey. So we this morning we have a chance to hear from Sylvia and work out what is the secret. What is the secret of Sylvia's, you know, passion for discipleship, or, you know, her passion for the Word of God, for prayer, and let me rephrase that. How what has God been doing in your life all these years that has motivated you to be so passionate in your walk with the Lord? So to start off with. How many people would like to know that from Sylvia? Amen, amen. So I know that you were not. It was hard for me to convince you to come up and share. You know, you usually like to do it behind the scenes, but I'm so glad that you're here, and I'm sure it will be an encouragement to the rest of our congregation. The very first question I'd like to ask is, how did you come? Let's go back. Let's take your journey right back to the beginning. How did you come to know the Lord?
Well, I'm not someone who like to speak to a congregation. You know, this is not me. It's actually God working in me. I'm usually normally a very shy and timid girl. But this is what God is doing in my life. And I got to share of His goodness. And it's all for His glory, okay? It's not about me. It's all about Him. And that's why I agreed to Simon that, yeah, I will share my testimony to encourage all of you here.
Amen.
I came to know the Lord 22 years ago when my marriage broke down. I was in Singapore. I come from an unbelieving family. I'm the second Christian in the family, and I've got two grown-up kids at the moment and one grandson. In my early years, I was very resistant to the gospel. My number six sister came to know Christ, and I scolded her. Neither did I know that 2 years later, God got hold of my life. I was in Singapore one trip, and a very good friend of mine spent the whole day talking to Jesus about me. And I knew that, looking back, God was really preparing me for something coming my way. And then I came back, things happened, and I was desperate. And I remember what he told me, and I was curious to know about the Bible. I don't own a Bible. But my daughter, who went to Penrose, they all have to have a Bible because it's a Christian school. So I went to look for a Bible, and I looked into it. I said, oh, it just doesn't make sense. And my daughter said, go and look for a good friend who's a Christian. I went to her, and I told her everything, and she nearly died when I told her that my marriage was coming to an end. And she prayed for me, and her husband led me to Christ. And I started going to FCC. And all these are very new to me because I never owned a Bible. I don't know anything about God, and was just so overwhelming. I used to cry and cry every time I go to the service, and I knew God was really touching my heart. And so my journey with the Lord started then, and I was baptized, and that was when God really took hold of my life, and I was just a different person altogether. Yeah, I was so excited for God. Anything to do with God, I was just so excited. And And I used to, you know, I have two grown-up children. I mean, that time my children were teenagers, and I would settle them, and then I would hide in my bedroom, and I would listen to broadcasts. I would read the Bible, and I would learn worship songs and try to sing and just spending time with the Lord. And I just experienced God in such a tangible way, and I knew that He was real. So I started engaging in a Bible study fellowship, which I'm still engaged to this day. I love BSF, and it actually helped me to grow in the knowledge of God. And I started buying Christian books, I started buying CDs, I started investing in Kurong. And it was just amazing. And after, I just felt that God put that fire in my heart, you know, to just want to know Him, to hunger for Him. I couldn't stop. Okay, I just keep going and going. I had three casual jobs and busy also raising up my two. I always make time for God. I just want to have that time to get to know Him. And then through BSF, I learned so much about God, who He is, and how to forgive my ex-husband. That was the biggest thing I struggled. And, you know, through all of that, today, you know, I still can talk to him, and I've forgiven him, and we have a relationship. We share our grandson together, but he just doesn't come home to me, that's all. But that, you know, that was the biggest bit, you know, that, as a Christian, you know, forgiveness is so important, that we learn to forgive, or else it will eat you up for the rest of your life. So I was so thankful to God, you know, for helping me to go along that journey. And what else I need to say? There's a lot I want to share, but I only got... And then God is so amazing, you know. When I became single, He started to send me all these divorced friends into my life through BSF, through church. And we would journey together, and I got this particular friend. We'd spend hours, and she was in the same journey, hungering for God. And we were always together talking about God, and we encouraged one another. And then if there's a preacher in town, two of us be running around attending, you know, trying to learn more about God. And there's some freedom being single. We don't have to run back to our husbands anymore. So we just, spend our time chasing after God. So we used to laugh about it, you know. And both of us are still attending BSF today and loving God. And we never miss BSF or church. We really encourage one another through our walk. Yeah. Is that 2 minutes yet?
but I wish you could carry on continuously. I think we would love for you to hear more. Yeah. But thank you so much, Sylvia, for being so open. And you're absolutely right, you know, the significance of forgiveness. And thank you for sharing your heart. Definitely, I can see the love and grace and that flows from the forgiveness that you receive from God and that you've extended to your husband and others as well. Mm. You know, I know that you're always so passionate and committed to prayer. You're always there whenever there's a prayer meeting, no matter, through thick and thin. Can I ask, where does that come from? And can you share with me some examples of answered prayer in your journey?
After I became a Christian, I wanted to learn how to pray, okay? I've seen other people who can pray so well, and they seem to know who they're talking to, and praying so confidently, and I wanted that. So I started attending church prayer meetings just to catch from them how to pray. And I started reading books about prayer. And then I started to realize that as a Christian, our relationship with Jesus is pursuing God and His Word and learning to pray to our Father in heaven. And once you put that into as your priority, everything will fall into place. And when you're on your own with two teenage children growing up, you know what the challenges you are, you really need God's help, okay? I was on my knees every day and crying out to God to help me and to guide me. Yeah. So my first encounter with God through prayer, this is a good one, was when I went back to Malaysia in 2005 to pray for my brother-in-law who was not a believer, and only met him once because I've been living here all this time when my sister got married. He was having a big operation, and God just orchestrated events that I could be there to attend a wedding and at the same time to go to KL to pray for him. And that time, I still have no confidence to pray. And I was relying on a friend who stayed in KL, another one of my good divorced friends. But she couldn't make it. And I said, God, you really want me to pray for him. So I gathered all my courage and with the help of the Holy Spirit, pray a simple prayer for him. And I saw tears in his eyes. The surgery went well. I was at the airport flying back to Perth, and my sister called me to say that my brother-in-law saw Jesus standing at the end of the hospital bed, wearing a purple robe and carrying a cross. Wow, my faith just rose to the next level. I said, God, you are really a prayer answering God. So I started to pray for the salvation of my family, and I was told to fast and pray, and I did. I was very obedient as a Christian then. Yeah, I did everything people tell me to do. Yeah. So I prayed, I fast and prayed, even without understanding the thing. So God heard my prayers, and I had over 20 salvations in the family.
Praise God.
And the recent one who came to the Lord was my sister-in-law. And God is a God of miracles, and he has done so many miracles in my family. Because of time, I can't tell you. And a friend, you know, really encouraged me, told me, she said, I saw you became a Christian. I saw the joy, the peace, and love in you, and how God has changed my life. And she became a Christian, just, yeah. So I said, really? She said, yeah, you know, you just changed so, you are so different now. She said, I said, oh, thank you. That is God. I said, not me. Yeah, okay.
Amen. Any more? I'm sure we can go on, right?
2 minutes, right?
Oh, 2 minutes, okay. Yes, well, that's good on you for keeping time. That's great. So there's a lot I'm sure you can continue to share. I guess another question I'd like to ask is your whole role as a CG leader, as a Connect Group leader. You know, you've been serving for many years as a Connect Group leader. You really have a heart for the members in your group. Can you, and you're also a cluster leader looking after other Connect Groups. Can you share a little bit about, your role as a CG leader and what have you learned and grown from that? Any memorable moments that
so you can see my life 10 years ago, I was just spending time, you know, seeking the Lord, pursuing him. And then God orchestrated events for me to come, and then I came to Sun Life and I started serving here. So I believe, looking back, God had plans for me to serve here. And as a CG leader, I always have a heart for people. Because I've tasted the goodness of God, I just want people to taste that goodness as well. You know, and they need help. And as a new believer, you know, the journey can be quite difficult. So I just, my heart goes out. I just want to grow, help to grow them, to shepherd them, to love them, connect them with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you know, if you are really new, you need someone to come alongside you. And my heart is always for people to grow in the Lord. You know, and we learn in BSF, you know, the mission is to magnify God and mature his people. So I take that here. I want to, you know, magnify God and mature his people by discipling other people. So CG is such an important place for everyone to be connected, to grow, because we can't do Christianity alone. It's really hard. You know, in times when, you know, you have challenges, we are there for one another. We can encourage one another, and we can teach them the promises of God, to stand on the promises of God when times are tough, and encourage them that, look, you know, I'm here for you. I love you. I'm your sister in Christ. We're all big family, and that's journey together. So that's the heart of being a CG leader. Yeah.
Amen. So, and I think your own Connect Group is a testimony to that. Thank you for encouraging all of us to be part of the disciple journey as part of a Connect Group. Can I ask you more of a personal question? I know you've lived, as you share, and I appreciate your honesty.
You asked me the other one.
The other one?
There's one question.
okay, well, sure. Well, I mean...
about CG leaders. What are the qualities?
Oh, yeah, sure. What do we look for? Okay, thanks for reminding me. I thought you... Okay, sure. Yeah. Please share about that. Yeah. So what are What are the qualities of a... What do you think are the qualities that you would need to be a CG leader, kind of group leader?
Anyone can be a CG leader here. If you have a heart for God and his word and love for his people, you might say they are not a shepherd and you don't know how to disciple, but God will enable you through the power of his spirit and his word. And God has put in all of us a heart to love people. That's our mandate, right? Jesus said, you know, if you love my people, you are my disciple. Yeah. And so you just have to sacrifice some time. And when God calls, we're told, we don't give excuses, we answer. And God will equip you and enable you. And that, you know, it'll give you that joy of seeing somebody growing in Christ. And that's what, you know, gives me that joy and encouragement when I see people growing in the Lord. Yeah. And it's such a privilege to serve the Lord. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So any one of you can be a CG leader. If you have a heart for His people and a heart for God, God will enable you. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Hopefully, there'll be some people responding to that challenge later. Sylvia, can I ask you more of a personal question? I appreciate your openness and honesty, you know, about as part of your testimony. I know that you've been living by yourself for a number of years now. I know that there are many adults here, young adults or older adults, who maybe are single and not yet married. Some of us here who maybe through circumstances are single again. I know that there are challenges that single people face that are quite especially unique to single people, you know, loneliness and security. Can I ask, from your experience, how can single people, single members of a congregation, address some of these challenges?
Yeah, a lot of people ask me this question. Even my own family say, you know, aren't you lonely? Aren't you scared? I say, no, I don't really feel lonely at all, because I have Jesus and the Holy Spirit with me, so I'm not scared. And He's my security. You know, that's all, you know, I need and I have right this time, and I enjoy Him. Yeah. So being single in whatever season of your life is a gift. And we have the freedom, you know, to spend time with God, praying and studying His Word. And I love doing that and meeting up with friends to encourage one another. So embrace it and enjoy this season of singleness if you are in this season of being single, and use it to glorify God. You know, we have this opportunity that other people don't have. You know, if they got family, their responsibility is to the family. But we being single, you know, we can use that to glorify God. And He has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. So, yeah, continue to seek Him and put Him first in your life. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Yeah, and I believe only Jesus can bring total fulfillment in our lives, and only He can fill the void in our heart. Not our spouse or children or career. Remember, He's the bread of life that Jason mentioned, and He's the living water that will never thirst. Yeah, and there was another verse that I forgot to mention that was very dear to me in the early days when I was seeking the Lord, Hebrews 11:6. That without faith, it is impossible to please God. And those who come to Him must believe that God exists and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And that was very, very real to me. And that's why I continue to seek Him, yeah, all these years. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So true. You know, we seek God first. God will bless us. God will look after us.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing that, Sylvia. Finally, I know you retired quite recently, right? A couple of years ago.
Yep.
Can you share, how does your life look like at the moment? And what would you say to people who have retired and who are planning to retire in our congregation?
I thank the Lord for this season of retirement. And what's got to make it happen was a big decision for me as well. Because I love my job. I used to be a nurse for a long time, for 47 years. Yep. And so because of COVID, and God helped me to make the decision to retire. So I have a lovely grandson that I spend every Wednesday with him. And I serve in BSF. Yeah, that's a big part of my life. And in church here as well. Yep. In a few ministries. And I get to spend more time with the Lord in this season. I don't have to really hurry in prayer and in His Word. And a good friend told me that we don't retire in God's kingdom, but we refire. And I told her, wow, I like that. So serving the Lord is such a privilege. And as I said, retire, refire, and keep running the race for Jesus and bring glory to Him. I've always tell God this is the last leg of my life, and I want to finish well before I see Him face to face, and He can call me good and faithful servant.
Amen, Sylvia. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Sylvia, for sharing, and let's pray that we all can finish well. Like Sylvia is definitely well on the way to doing that. So we thank God for you, Sylvia. Thank you. That we really appreciate that you're part of our church, and you're really setting a wonderful example for all of us here. I'd like to invite Tran, if she's nearby, to come and just pray for Sylvia before we move on to the next segment.
Let us pray for Sylvia. Dear Jesus, you are the rock of all ages, and we are so thankful that we are 12 in you, Lord. Your presence are with us each day, and I thank you so much for my sister here, Sylvia, my dear sister here, God, that all blessings are coming from you, including her, that you have blessed us and our community here. We are so blessed because of her and her gifting and her heart for your people, Lord. Thank you so much for her. I pray that you continue to light her path, Lord, wherever she may be. I pray that you illuminate all the darkness around her, that you fleece all the enemies around her, God, as she continue faithfully doing your work, looking after your people, disciple your people, God. I pray that you bless her, bless the work of her hands, Lord. May she dwell in your house forever, God. As she continue to believe in your word, your words say that those who believe in you, that you will bless the work of their hands, and you will allow them to accomplish what you have called them to do, God. And I pray for my sisters here that you bless her and bless her work, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's give a final round of applause to our dear sister, Sylvia. Thanks, Sylvia. Okay, over to Jordan and the music team. Let's give praise to God and honor Him for the great things He's doing in our midst, in our church.
Check, testing. All right, cool. It's working. Wow, it's been great, eh? Two great testimonies. We got one more for you. One more. All right, so grab your seats. I know some of us, like Jason, did a fantastic work to get our appetites going, right? So we're thinking, oh man. Okay, put that aside. Reject that in Jesus' name. Let's get back on testimonies, okay? All right, this morning I want to invite Jenny. If you're here, let's give a round of applause for Jenny. Is there a microphone for Jenny here? Oh, cool. Thanks. Hey, Jenny. I know we had a bit of a conversation the last few days, and I know you're a bit nervous here. So relax, chill. Don't look at them. All right, we're just having a normal conversation. But before we start, maybe just tell us a bit about yourself. Maybe some of us don't really, or maybe have not met you. What do you do for work, and what do you do at Sun Life?
Okay, hello everyone. So I'm Jenny. So I've been at Sun Life for about 5 years now. I'm a sonographer, so I do ultrasound. At Sun Life, I lead a connect group with my amazing partner, Andrew, who's on sound today. I'm also on the welcome team. Yeah.
That's great. Well, wonderful. Thanks to have you this morning with us and to hear your testimony. I did hear that it's quite a, Simon was trying to get you to share back then, and it was a long time. It's been almost 2 to 3 years, right? Since 2019. Yeah. You have kept that all in, right? But maybe we'll start. Can you tell us a bit about what happened when you were about to be baptized in 2019? What, maybe what happened during those that year itself? And
So I've been coming to Sun Life for about maybe on and off for 2 years. I was not very regular. And then I was attending Ernest's and Jasmine's Connect Group. They're very lovely. Great couple. I started coming regularly, I think, at the beginning of 2019 to Ernest's Connect Group. And I was with Jeremy and Ernest, and then we're just doing life together every Friday. And it was really weird because at the beginning of that year, I started waking up at like 5 a.m. every morning. Like, it was so strange. I sleep till like, I'm like that type of person who like maximize sleeping time so that I have less time to like prepare to go to work. I kept waking up at 5, and so I started praying. Actually, I spent an hour or more each day in the morning praying for everyone, my friends. I went down my phone list, I prayed for everyone and anything. And yeah, like, and God just started like doing amazing things in my life, like at work. And I shared a lot at Connect Group. One day I stepped in and I forgot to wake up. I didn't wake up early, naturally. And I was driving to work. And so during this time, it was coming to Easter Sunday and it was Baptism Sunday. And I was driving to work and I've never felt this way before. Like, it almost, as I was praying, like, I felt God like give me like a vision. It was so strong. Like, and he was telling me, like, you need to be baptized this Easter Sunday. And I was like, what? I haven't even told my family. So all my family are like non-believers. So I come from a non-Christian family. And like a lot of my family don't know I go to church. Sorry, guys.
It's okay.
And but it was really strange. I felt God like strongly tell me, you need to do this, because on this day you're going to invite all these people, your family, your friends, to come to Sun Life. And I was like, okay, sure, like, are you sure? And then at that point, I went to work, and at that point, one of my friends at church was Kathy, and she said to me, oh my gosh, I had the same vision for you last night. And I was like, what? And then, I obeyed God, and I did that, like, and one by one, like, yeah, I started going to work, and I started inviting people from work, from my family, and yeah, like, I could not, like, I actually invited my mum, and I think to sit down and tell her that, you know, I'm going to get baptized, even to explain that to her was really hard. But I did that, and like, I just saw like 50 non-believers came to Sun Life on my baptism. It was like just amazing to see God work, yeah.
It's okay. Yeah.
And so like, I know that's from God, because if you tell me to do that right now, like to go back and tell my mom, to tell my family that this is what I'm going to do now, I just don't have the courage. Like, so I knew that didn't come from me, because I don't have the courage to do that myself. Like, if I could do that now, I can't. So I knew 100% that was not me, and that didn't come from me. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's great. You know, just to hear God speak, and for you to just being new to the faith and just stepping out in obedience, and seeing 50 people coming to your baptism must have been a great, you know, great thing that God is doing in your life. Now, between then, and we were talking, you know, just this week alone, between then and then, you know, right up to recently as well, also something happened along that your journey. Maybe you can share with us a bit about the burnout that you had, and share with us about what happened then.
I think I need to read my notes too.
That's okay.
You know, often people tell you, like, after you get baptized, the one thing people keep saying is, like, this is only the beginning, right? And, like, at that point in my life, I was like, wow, it can get better than this. Like, really? Like, I was already so in awe at what he did in my life at that point. So since then, that's been 2019, so that's been, like, 3 years now. You know, like, the journey has been, like, you know, up and down, but nothing, like, I never felt that anymore, like, that peak, right? And recently, actually, if anything, it probably was one of my worst times in my life. From January to about April, I went through, like, quite a tough time. I was very, very burnt out. Outside of work, I, like, just had so much going on, and I think I'm an extrovert. And I love spending time with people. I love spending time with my friends. But I think it got to a point I had four weddings in a span of 6 months. Bridesmaid, like I was either a bridesmaid or a helper. And like, I think I just kept going. And I don't think I realized myself how burnt out I was inside. And I was serving at church and I was leading CG, planning all these social events. And I thrive on that. But like, I don't think I realized that I was so burnt out actually underneath all that. And I spent 4 months just crying so much. Like, and I felt sorry for Andrew, because I think it's very hard to share this with, especially if you understand, like, I think the generation before us, how do you explain mental health to your mum? Like, as in, like, for me, like, I'm so close to my mum, but how do you, like tell your mum, like, you're, like, struggling and, like, you, like, I had to, like, ring up work, like, and, like, call them and tell them that I mentally just can't come to work. And I was really ashamed of that. Because normally, I think before COVID, I'm pretty bad. Like, because even if I was really sick, I would still pull myself through to work. Because, you know, patients, like, you work with patients and you know that, like, they, like, you know, make time to come to your appointments and everything. So, yeah, but like, I think to call up and say that you just mentally couldn't come to work, it was really hard for me. So, yeah, that was me for 4 months. I started to lose a lot of confidence at work and my skills as a sonographer. I just, like, lost all confidence myself. I was very burnt out outside of work. I actually saw a Christian counsellor during this time as well. I mean, I was hunting, like, for, like, something. Like, I think I was like, God, should I be praying more? Should I be, like, should I be reading the Bible more? Like, you know, I was, like, I just hunted for everything, trying to, like help myself, right? But, like, nothing really. I think all that helped me cope, but it never dealt with the actual issue. So that was me, like, for 4 months, actually. I just spent crying every day. I cried myself to sleep. It was so sad. And if you know me, I'm quite bubbly. I'm quite happy usually. But it was just, I never lost my faith during that time, but I always, always, like, questioned why God put me through this. Yeah.
Yep. And you wanted to share, I don't know whether it's part of the next question you've got in there, but you did share about your journey as well in the wilderness. Is it Kananara?
This place here, very beautiful. Thank you, Sanare, as well. I just sent this in, like, when I was at the back. I was like, oh, Mary Ann has pictures. Can I have pictures too? This is so cool. Thank you, Mary Ann, for inspiring me. And thank you, Sanare. So this beautiful place here is Karratha and Karangini. I had 4 months of feeling this way, and a while back, a year ago actually, I had planned a trip to Karangini and Karratha. I was away for a month from Perth, and oh my gosh, that really gave me a chance to really rest, because, like, you know, when I took time off work, well, I was very burnt out, like, resting for a week at home doesn't help. I mean, like, you look at yourself and you're like, oh, I could do this at home. But, like, when you're away, it really gives you a chance to really go away from everyone and anyone, like, and anything. No one would ask me to do anything and no one would ask me to hang out. Like, it was great. Best thing ever. Like, you know, like, so I really, like, yeah, God really gave me a chance to rest. And during this time, so something about me as well as a sonographer, like, we do scan different things aside from babies. FYI, okay? So, there's different specialties, and I'm someone who likes to be, I like to do everything, and I like to be a jack of all trades, right? And, yeah, but, like, at work, I started comparing myself to people who were experts in certain fields, and I started to think to myself, oh, I'm not as good as these people who are experts. During this time away, God really placed amazing people in my life to really encourage me, I met one lady who'd been scanning before I was born. Like, she'd been a sonographer for like 30, 2 years. That's how old I am, 32. Like, so, and then I was like, she said to me, what makes you think a master at something is better than someone who's like, you know, like a jack of all trades? Like, you still got to be good at what you do. You can't like, you know, you can't, you're not doing half-hearted job. And then I met also, like, that he also placed two couples in my life, a couple in my life, a South African couple, and the man said to me, he's a, like, he used to do own a mechanic shop, and he was like, I don't want to hire someone who can just fix like a window, like a door and a wheel. Like, I want to hire someone who can do everything, right? And his wife said to me, Jenny, there's no right or wrong in this, like, you know, everyone's on a different journey. And like that day, my mindset changed. Like, you know, like from that trip, like I realized, you know, like, you know, I'm not bad at what I do. Like, you know, everyone's on a different journey. I am good at what I do. Like, you know, and so like, funny thing as well, like this trip was planned way before I knew I was going to go through all this. So it really goes to show, like, God took that step before me to, like, you know, put these people in my life, give me this trip, because he knew at the end of like April, I would be like, I practically had enough. I was like, just like, I'm so over this. I need to leave. Like, if you know me, you know that if I go away on holiday, like, I love coming back home. Like, when the plane lands, it's like, great. Like, you know, like, oh, I'm back in Perth. So cool, right? And then, but this is the first time, like, I was, when I, like, left, right, from my time off to come back to Perth, I cried so much because I was so scared of coming back, because I knew who I was and I knew, yeah, like, I just, even the fact that, you know, Andrew was here, my mum was here, my family, all the people, my cousins back there who came to support me today, you know, like, I all were, like, people I love were like, you know, here, I didn't want to come home because I was so broken when I was here. Like, so it was the first time I really got, like, yeah, I was like, what if I can't bring what I learned back? Yeah. So, yeah. That's God was a huge blessing. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great. Thanks for sharing that. I know it's been ups and downs. Mm. You know, you got a high, and then after that, dropped way down low. But in all of this, what is the main thing that God is teaching you about during this whole episode? Is there something that you want to share?
Yeah. So during this time, I think I really learned. You know, I think because I thrive on like seeing God, like, you know, use me, and like so I used to always, oh, you know, like if I do this, then people can see God. If I do that, like people can see God, because you're like it brings you so much joy. But I think it came to a point where like it was burning me out actually from doing all that. Like so I came to learn it's okay like to just spend time with God, you know, in his presence. I still remember, like, there was one time when Ernest was on worship and he was sharing about the Mary and Martha?
Yeah,
yes.
Mary and Martha.
I came up to him and I was like, oh, you know that Martha Stewart story they're talking about? Anyways, I think, you know, like, and it reminds me of, like, yeah, me, like, sometimes it's okay to just rest, you know, and Daryl also reminded me as well, like, you know, that at the end of the day, like, you know, God loves me for who I am. I'm, like, his precious daughter and, like, I don't have anything to prove. Do you know what I mean? Like, so it's okay, and sometimes just to have a break, really, you know, from everyone and everything. Yeah,
that's great. And for those of maybe for the congregation, I know this is not a question that we prepared. We did have prepared questions, by the way, but maybe for those who are struggling burnout at this stage, and probably kind of close to where you are right now, what would be your advice to them?
I think resting is very important. Okay, I think I've learned my lesson. I'm a lot more like I think wary of this. Like, you know, as much as for those extroverts out there, you need to break. Sometimes you're a little bit introverted. Okay, as well. Like, so, you know, I think, yeah, it's really okay to just have a break. I think that's something I really learned, prioritizing better, and just really, it's okay to say no. That's something I'm not very good at. I don't know how to say no. Sometimes, like, people ask me to do this or hang out, and I feel really guilty if I, like, say no. So, like, that's something I'm still learning, and it's still a journey for me. I think, yeah. But, like, know that, like, never lose faith, because, you know, like, throughout that time, like, now I reflect and retrospect, like, you know, it took what I had to go through to be able to, like, God to drag me from a point of my worst to, like, now, right? So, like, you know, like, just think about this way. Every time I think to myself now, I'm going through like a really tough time, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to the end because it's going to be even better than before. So yeah, something like that. Like, I think it gives me that like perspective now and like something to look forward to. Yeah, it is tough. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think crying every day is exhausting. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I think, yeah. And having like a poor mental health, I think I'm very grateful for a good mindset. That's something I'm really, really grateful for now when I reflect back. Yeah.
And also one thing that you did bring up about Mary and Martha and Jesus, you know, Jesus told Mary, right, at the end. Jesus said, Jesus told Martha at the end, you're worried and concerned about many things. But look at Mary, there's only one thing that is needed. And Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. And that's amazing testimony you've got there. Just one other thing. We know that you're about to tie the knot with Andrew. So it's going to be exciting. Is there anything that we can pray for you?
Actually, yes. I have two things, 2 points to this. I'll start with the wedding point first. So a couple of weeks ago when Daryl preached, during worship, I like bawled my eyes out, right? And then I was sitting next to my two good friends, Wenna and Jason, and I was like, oh my gosh, please make it. They can't tell I'm crying, like, right? And then normally when I cry, like every single time I've ever cried during worship was when I've struggled, like as in when I'm going through a tough time with God. But for the first time, I was crying because like I felt God told me something. I was just so in awe. So our wedding's coming up, and I'm like, I planned a lot of games, and I was so excited. Like I'd like done all this stuff, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait for my wedding. And then we're going to Scandinavia 4 months after our wedding, and I can't wait for that too, right? And so I was so excited. I was like, God, I can't wait. These all these things exciting, but like, God told me, Jenny, you know, as much as you're going on this holiday, as much as you're going to like, you know, you're having this wedding, you plan all these games, like, do you know there's so much, there's a bigger thing going on under all of that, right? I'm telling you now, you know, you invited 130 people to your wedding. 40 of those people are Sun Lifers. 90 of those people are non-believers, all your friends and your family. You're giving 90 people a chance to experience me, God, like to feel your love, you know. You know how amazing that is? Like, and I just bawled my eyes out because like, I realized, you know, like often like, you know, you preach about like, oh, like, you know, like, was, you know, money is not so important, holiday is not so important, you know, all you need is God. But like, you know, I think, oh, actually holiday is important, money is also important, right? And then, but like, you know, when I experienced that, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting, because you know, that's like the greatest gift you can give anyone. Like when you know God, you realize how amazing that gift is, right? Like that joy that comes out of it, like nothing else matters, right? And yeah, so I can't wait to be able to give like this big present to everyone, like to feel him and to feel the joy, like, you know? So yeah. And and then he also told me this. He was like, the bigger the mission in life, you know, the bigger the thing I'm going to do in life, Satan's real. Okay, Satan is real. And you know, the bigger the mission, you need prayer, the bigger the support you need. You need to ask church to pray for you, you know, and you need this help, right? Because at the end of the day, right, has everyone seen Endgame? So I only recently, you know, I went to the movies and I went to AC Endgame without knowing who Captain America was. I didn't know who, I think I saw like Iron Man 1 and 2 and I went to see Endgame. Woo! On opening night as well.
Andrew, you got some education to
do. So recently we watched the whole thing, and when I was sharing with Andrew this, right, I was telling Andrew, I was like, oh, you know, it's like this. Let me explain to you. Like basically, at the end of the day, spoilers, and Thanos dies at the end. So, right, so the bad guy dies in Endgame. But like, so if it's in God's will, it will happen no matter what, okay? 100% it will happen. But you need, the bigger your army, the bigger the support, right? The less you come out scarred, basically. You know, after my baptism, oh my gosh, like my cousin can vouch for this. After like, you know, like I got baptized, my family was like, do not be anything like Jenny, like do not like be, you know, like, and I was so hurt. Like I was really, really hurt from all that. But yeah, so I think the bigger your army, the bigger the support, the bigger the prayer, like I'm asking, please pray for me. Like, you know, like I think I can't wait to, you know, for people to experience him, you know, like just like, because it's such a great gift. Yeah. And so on that note, can I have two prayers?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yes. So that
by the way, I'm just
prayer.
Asking, who's doing your ceremony for your wedding?
Pastor Bin. I'll pray for Pastor Bin as
pressure
well.
Pressure is on Pastor Bin.
Yeah, whoever he is. Yeah.
How many hundred over? Yeah.
130. Yeah.
130, fantastic.
Yeah. All right. And pray for the people who are going too.
Yes,
the 40 Sun Lifers here are going. You are on mission here, okay? Just saying.
Yes, those invited, you're on mission. Pressure is on as well.
Yeah.
But more importantly, to pray for Jenny's and Andrew's wedding. It's not just a wedding. It's what God can do in that wedding. That's the most important. Why don't we all stretch out our hands and then let's just pray for Jenny.
One more. So I have one last thing I want to share. This is very recent. Recently a job opportunity came up at work. It was an internal advert, right? And how could you forget?
I'm sorry.
It's okay. You're forgiven. So it was a managing role to manage a few clinics in our company. And normally when I open an email like that, I could not care less, just delete, right? And then I don't have any intention of climbing a social ladder. I mean, the corporate ladder, like, you know, I just, you know, but when I opened that, this is the second time I felt this. So my first time was my baptism. The second time was very recent. So it was like, when I opened this email, I felt God tell me, you need to apply for this. You need to apply for this because you need to grow. If you don't apply for this, how can I shine my light through you? And if you don't apply for this, how can I show what people I can do through you, Jenny? Right? And it was so powerful. I was like, what? Really? Are you sure? Like, I'm about to get married. You know, I like to go home, go to work, go home. That's it. You know, and I really felt God tell me that. And like instantly, like my heart changed and I felt like, okay, you know what? I'm going to, you know, apply for this role. And then when I went to work, like four other people messaged me and said to me, when we opened this email, we thought of you. Right. And so I was very reluctant to share this. But like, my Wenna, who's not here, I said to her, I don't want to share this. It's still an ongoing process, you know. I don't know whether I'll get the job, blah blah. And she said, God didn't guarantee you the job. Like, it's just obedience. It's just acting through obedience and doing what He's told you to do, right? And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, okay. And then so that went on, but this week something happened. I found out one of my really good friends at work, who's also a Christian, and she's also applied for the same role as me, right? Which is fine, actually. Interesting enough, like, I actually thought of her too, and I thought, you should be a great, like, you know, candidate for this role. But like, what I actually learned from when she told me that was like, actually, I don't mind not getting this, because at the end of the day, right, like, I think for me now, like, if God's given me such a great gift, and if by getting this job takes away like utilizing my gift to the best of its ability, then I'd rather not have it, because I can't wait to see what He can do, right? So like, now I think about it, I'm like, oh, I don't mind like going to the interview doesn't matter anymore, because I think to myself, I'm not going to go into the interview thinking, oh, I'm like fighting for this job. I'm going into this interview because I can't wait to share my journey. Like, you know, that's, for me, that's like the biggest joy. And yeah, it brings back and ties back to the point where, like, you know, like, nothing else matters. Your holidays, your weddings, nothing, right? It just brings me so much joy just sharing. Like, I have so much joy doing that. And it's okay, you know, if I don't get it. So I went back and I told Wenna. I was like, oh yeah, I can't wait to go to the interview, you know, like, because like, I can't wait to share. So she was like, oh, so you got an interview? I was like, oh no, not yet. Not yet. Well, anyways, but I wrote a cover letter. So like, you know, several people helped me write my cover letter as well, including Josephine from church. And so like, even doing that, who knows, right? Yeah. Like what you've done. So like, yeah, I'm just excited to see.
Definitely.
Okay, now I'm done.
Now you're done, yeah, you sure?
I'm done.
Okay, because I got to apologize to these people.
Sorry. Thank you for waiting.
just kidding. But thanks, Jenny. Appreciate your sharing. I just sense that the Lord is speaking. And I just want to share a verse with you in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. It says here, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. And that's for you this morning. Why don't we just pray for Jenny? Everyone, stretch out your hands. Let's pray for Jenny. Father, we just want to thank you that you are in Jenny's life. Preeminent, not just a priority, but the first and the foremost. And we pray that this is so evident, not just in her life, but you'll be between her shared life with Andrew as well, as they begin on a marriage journey, that you will be preeminent in their marriage, the first and the foremost, so that when everyone sees them, they will see you. They will see you high and lifted up, exalted. I pray, Lord Jesus, for the people that will be coming to their wedding, I ask that God, you begin to stir in their hearts and begin to open their hearts, begin to soften their hearts to you. I pray for Pastor Bin, for those of us who will be there. I pray, Lord Jesus, you help us not just attend a wedding, but help us to see beyond that, to see that there are people out there that may be hurting or broken that will need to hear a message of hope. Father, I also want to pray, and I pray for Jenny's parents and family who she's been praying for a long time to reach out to them. And sometimes those words can hurt, but your word says, no weapon formed against her shall prosper. And we thank you and we pray for a protection around her. Let the peace of Jesus Christ guard her heart and her mind and her soul and her spirit in Christ Jesus. I pray also that that peace that transcends all understanding will be in her. I ask, Father, that that peace will also be with her as she applies for the new job role and as she goes for the interview. So we thank you. We know that you are in her life. We know that you're also in heaven celebrating the fact that she'll be joining in marriage with Andrew as well. And both of them will continue to live out their lives. It's a great testimony for you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, amen. Amen. Thanks, Jenny. Well, why don't we stand? We're just going to close in prayer. It's been great to have everyone here this morning. Before we do that, I just got two reminders. The first one, if you're new here, we would love for you to sign up for the welcome lunch. We really want to get to know you and have a meal with you together. That's on the 28th of August. So you can sign up on the website, all right? The second thing is the DC conference, which wasn't mentioned at the church news. The discipleship conference, if you really want to grow this year and you really want to deepen your walk with God, please sign up for the discipleship conference. It's going to be an amazing time where we sit and learn how to follow Jesus better. All right? So let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you that this Sunday is not just a time we come together and hear great testimonies and be encouraged and walk away feeling good. But I pray that you remind us that we have our own testimonies as well. That these testimonies may not be here on stage, but it may be the ones that we tell our friends, the ones that we tell the people who don't really know you. And I pray that, God, you give us the courage to do so. You give us the confidence to do that. I pray that your Spirit will lead us this coming week, from Monday to Saturday, the people that we meet, that we will have the opportunity to share how good you are to us. We thank you. Bless this week ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. And all of Sun Life say, amen. All right, be blessed. Hope to see everyone next Sunday.